Coming up on show 943, Nissan marks 10 years of the Leaf. But what comes next? Stick around and we'll discuss. Plus on the podcast today, Volvo's CEO says don't offer incentives but ban combustion cars. VW's ID3 continues to sell well in Europe. And why the Tesla Model 3 with its new cobalt-free battery can charge all the way to 100%. Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're listening in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily for Friday, 4th of December. My name is Martin Lee, and I go through every EV story, so you don't have to. 10 of the best today. We've got 10 fine EV headlines to get through, and welcome to 4 new Patreon supporters, a new producer, Christian Mahler. Hello, Christian. Thank you for producing the podcast. A new producer, Jared Slusser, joined in the last week, and a new executive producer who I've been swapping emails with. He's obviously super interested in the move to electric, Heinrich Leisner. Hope I have your name correct, Heinrich. If not, let me know. I'll get it right. And a new partner who is Ian Sear. Now, Ian Sear has done what a few people have done over the months and years, actually, which is to kind of upgrade their support. He's been an executive producer for a long time, but he's offered even more support to help me make more YouTube videos. And whether it's for, you know, 1 month or more, people have done that in the past, just temporarily, and are going to up their support, become a partner of the podcast. And I really couldn't do it. It was getting a very expensive hobby back in the day before Patreon. And so, thank you very much for putting this show on the air. Nissan today celebrates the 10th anniversary of the Leaf and the delivery of 500,000 Leaf vehicles since first introduction. 148,000 sold in the US over the years. Leaf first went on sale in Japan and US first in December 2010, 10 years ago. Back then, EPA range, 73 miles from its 24 kilowatt hour pack. Until the first quarter of this year, it was the world's biggest selling EV. Around, I don't know, because, you know, there's not daily figures, but around February, March sometime, the Model 3 took that crown. And what does LEAF stand for, if you didn't know that it was an acronym? Leading Environmentally Friendly Affordable Family Car. Yes, LEAF actually stands for LEFAFC. But LEFAFC doesn't sound very good. Oh, what have you got? Oh, I've got the new 24 kilowatt hour LEFAFC. So, environmentally friendly is hyphenated and they don't say the C. So, leading environmentally friendly affordable family car. So, the LEAF, which is a pretty terrible acronym. In July this year, Nissan unveiled the Ariya. It's an all-electric crossover designed from the ground up, platform meant for EVs. Nissan wants to sell 1 million electrified vehicles annually from 2023. But what they call electrified, they also include in there what their e-power technology does, which, yeah, so an electric motor might drive the wheels, but there's no plug socket. It's a combustion engine. You put fuel in, the generator charges a tiny, tiddly battery. Some of these batteries in serial or series hybrids can be a kilowatt, a kilo, 1.5 kilowatt hours, and they call that electrified. Well, it's not, because you can't electrify it. I don't know how to kind of get through the failed logic without just shouting at them. It's not an electric vehicle. In no way, in no form, is it an electric vehicle. It's got an electric motor inside, but you literally won't move unless you put dinosaur juice in. Anyway, and of course, the Japanese are pretty wedded to hydrogen power as well. And, you know, we'll come on to Toyota later, but you do sort of wonder where that, the kind of dominance, really, of some of that Japanese technology, you wonder where that's going to end up. The Ariya could be their great saving. It's an SUV. It's out next year. It's a bigger car than the Leaf. It's going to be a more expensive car than the Leaf, I think. You know, they start to drift into sort of semi-premium Tesla Model 3 territory. And, you know, certainly it's a car that will be more of a complete electric car package, you know, than the Leaf that has, you know, the old cliche, no, you know, thermal management, liquid thermal management on the battery. But it's true, it is true. And the Ariya fixes all of that. So CHAdeMO disappears. I think it stays for their home market of Japan. But either way, be really interesting to see. What do you think Nissan should do next? Of course, they have a big plant here in the UK, a vested interest, I must admit. There it's in Sunderland. And I want to see them do well, but I don't want to see them try and fumble their way through the decade with calling electric vehicles, you know, well, these series hybrids that really aren't anything but a a generator. It's not an EV. And if they kind of sit back and think, great, we made an EV, you didn't make an EV. And it's not zero emissions. And unless vehicles are zero emissions going forward, they're not going to be able to drive into cities and even be sold after, in some countries, 2025, in some countries, 2030. So they're investing in what they call like cutting-edge technology. Here's our new technology, and it's going to be redundant so soon. I don't know, they've got the engineers, they've got the talent to make great EVs. We'll wait and see what they do. I'm hopeful for Nissan, but there's, you know, 5% of me is cautious because they didn't develop the Leaf after having that early lead, like Toyota led early with the Prius. All they did was iterate, but really none of the bits of that were different. You know, the battery got bigger in the Leaf, but under the skin, so many parts were identical, even when the third generation came out, the same bits. So goodness, I really want Nissan to do well. I'd love to know your thoughts, though. It's the big question of today. It's the headline story. And it's a day of celebration because they've done 500,000 of these things and for 10 years. But where does Nissan go next? Let me know, and we'll discuss your thoughts on a future show. Okay, let's talk about Japan very quickly. NHK, the public broadcaster there, reporting yesterday that they are aiming at the mid-2030s to ban combustion cars but allow hybrids. Again, you know, 15 years away, not ambitious. Japan's industry ministry considering all cars be hybrids from 2035 onwards. It's not even going to be a thing you need to do lawmaking for, because no one's going to be wanting anything but an EV in those times. Right, let's talk next about BP. A little while ago in the UK, they bought ChargeMaster, our biggest charging network. ChargeMaster had a thing called the Polar Network, but also there was a pay-as-you-go thing, and it was all a little bit, it had kind of grown over the years, and so BP have gone, you know what, let's start again with it. Let's keep all the best bits. They're getting a new name, so it's now called BP Pulse. They've brought together ChargeMaster and the Polar Network. It's a rebrand, and it makes sense. It's a fresh start. And so according to current news, the subscription scheme continues, £8 a month, just less, and all of the ultra charge units that they have there, the 50 kilowatt ones, have contactless payment on now, which isn't a law, but it is, you know, as good as, it's a strong guidance that charging networks need to be doing this. And so they've already done that. It's great news. BP bought them for £130 million 2 years ago. And I said at the time, because this podcast was on the air at the time, £130 million, they stole it. They absolutely stole it. They were laughing all the way to the bank. For BP, that's a rounding error. That's money down the back of the sofa in the board meeting. Nothing at all. For such a big network, it just positioned them. They leapt to the top. For 130 million quid. Nothing. Amazing. Stole it. Bargain of the century. Did really well. Got a bit of foresight there for doing what many companies now are scrambling to invest in EV technology. Let's talk next about Volvo. ICE banning. In other words, internal combustion engine laws, which stop them being sold, are more effective than giving people money and incentives to buy an EV. That's the view of Håkan Samuelsson speaking at FT Live, the digital conference. For Volvo's CEO, Samuelsson said incentives don't help build sustainable businesses, because when that tap is turned off, what do you have left? Interesting. Let's talk about the VW ID3 next, the best-selling car in Norway. Now, in Norway, 7,035 new electric cars, full electric cars, were registered in the month of November. That was 56.1%, down from the heady heights of 75% we have seen, with almost 1,000 units sold. The VW ID3, the most popular model, says Chris at Electrive. Now, 63,000 full electric cars have been sold in Norway, a real hotbed of EVs in the world. Not the world's biggest by volume, but certainly by percentage. ID3 number 2 already this year. They've only been on sale for 2.5 months. It was mid-September, I believe, ID3 went on sale. So 2.5 months, and it's already second in the overall statistics behind. Any guesses? Yeah, not the Model 3. It would be the e-tron, which is the number one car there. But I mentioned Model 3. Let's talk about them now. A few months ago, Tesla's customer support representative in China told some customers that the LFP battery, the cobalt-free, it's called lithium iron phosphate, they're the new batteries in the short range, the standard range plus Model 3s in China could charge to 100% as much as you want every day, go for your life, without adversely impacting the health of the battery pack. Now the first customers in Europe have taken delivery of the Standard Range Plus, made in China. About 7,000 of them just rolled off the boat from Shanghai, and a few people are just starting to get their reviews and thoughts on the internet. According to Drive Tesla Canada, who found this tweet, previously the charging screen in the app, so if you've got the Tesla app, there's a little graphic of a battery, and it used to say... it was sort of divided up, and it would be a little band range that said 50 to 80%. The brackets of 50 to 80 would be your recommended charge level. And then from 90 and 100%, it actually said the word trip next to. So don't charge your Tesla all the way. Don't go past 80%. It's bad for the battery. With the new LFP batteries, the owners of those cars don't have that on their app. It simply says 100%. There's no trip anymore. It says the recommended charge limit is 100%. So go for your life and charge those LFP batteries in the Standard Range Plus all the way. The only thing that's just started to happen in China, and this is a really interesting phenomenon, I'd like to learn more about it because I'm taking this from just a handful of, you know, internet observations. Always be careful with that. People are using the superchargers on these new batteries, and because you can go all the way to 100%, they're sitting on the supercharger all the way to 100%. That's not the way to use DC fast chargers because it charges so slowly the more full it gets. And there's queues forming at superchargers in China, and people are saying, like, it's gone past 90%. What are you doing? And they're saying, well, I meant to charge to 100%, and I am. And, you know, well, don't do that on a supercharger. So that could be an interesting thing that needs a little bit of education there of the buying public. Next, we'll talk about Rimac. Matej Rimac, the founder of the company, says SPACs can cause damage to the EV industry. What is an SPAC, Special Purpose Acquisition Company? And it's all the rage this year in EV world. The founder of the hypercar maker Rimac, Matej Rimac, said at the same FT conference I mentioned, an auto blog saying that managers of SPAC companies aren't held to the same level of liability and accountability as those wanting to do an IPO, an initial public offering. There's so much more kind of just legal stuff around it. So what is a SPAC? Well, it's a blank check company. It's a small company that floats on the stock market, has an established track record of filings with the US SEC. The point of these companies, they have to, within 3 years, I believe, is the limit, they have to then find a company to buy up or reverse merge with. And often in high growth sectors, in the EV world, Faraday, Canoo, Nikola, Fisker, Lordstown have all done it this year. It's a way of becoming a public company to obtain that influx of money quickly without all the paperwork that comes with an IPO. With the ever closer relationship between Matej Rimac and VW Group, we could well see them getting closer. Money's not a problem for them. I can understand why he says that it causes a bubble in EV world and why he's not impressed with this way of EV companies going the fast route to being public. But I don't think that Rimac has to worry about money at the moment. VW keen through their Porsche. Also, whether Rimac will buy Bugatti or whether they have a large stake in Bugatti in return for VW Group having access to Rimac's technology, we'll see. Matej Rimac in the past has talked very favourably about visiting the Bugatti factory. I mean, they make handfuls of cars, right? And just saying how he thought they were good at making cars, and there's so much that they need to learn about making luxury cars from someone like Bugatti. Just like, not just fit and finish, but just the level of detail needed. If you're going to sell those hypercars that are a lot of money, like, it can't just be technology. It has to be just something very, very desirable. And he's talked very favourably about Bugatti. So I'm sure he'd love that level of craftsmanship in the company. We'll see. Elon Musk is next in the news. Moving to Texas, moving closer to Giga Austin, at least according to several of his close friends and associates, saying Elon Musk has now told them he's moving to the Lone Star State. According to CNBC, he spends most of his time anyway between Austin, where Tesla are and the Boring Company are based, and the coastal village of Boca Chica, home of SpaceX. Getting out of California is something he promised to do earlier this year, the highest income tax in the country. Texas has no state income tax, you know, with Elon managing to profit from his compensation package awarded in 2018, and an exploding share price for Tesla has awarded him a lot of money. It means that he could certainly save a few billions himself. And also, he's really down on California because of the way it treated COVID, which he disagreed with, and the stay-at-home orders. The state's top lawmaker in Texas, Governor Abbott, thinks that Musk is moving as well, telling CNBC's Squawk Box that Musk now has a Texas driver's license. Okay. Next, Opel, a surprise. Opel slash Vauxhall, a surprise. The Mokka-e has sold out. Another EV has sold out even before any customer has one. This time, the Mokka-e. It's a European car, and it hits the road in March. Opel slash Vauxhall have said they were totally surprised by the demand. They have now, according to Electrek, sold out of the initial edition model, but even the base model's production has been sold out for 12 months. Attractive pricing and strong government incentives in Europe reduced the price of the car by a third, and responsible, some say, for the high sales, particularly in Germany, but also out of Germany, sales have been very strong. And why do we keep hearing this story? This time it's Opel Vauxhall that says, oh, we put an EV on sale. Oh, we can't believe it. People wanted it, and everybody bought it. Oh, we should have made some more. Happens time and time again. So many car makers are saying, hey, we'd love to go electric, honestly. Hey, governments, hey, environmental groups, we'd love to go electric, but nobody wants to drive them. We've heard that BS time and time again. And then when a company does offer one, it sells out. So the market is there. The supply is simply not. And it's the companies that can get those cars into the market that are doing well. So Tesla have capitalized. And now those companies like VW with the ID3, ID4, that are making them in good numbers, really good numbers, and are making good cars as well, are finding that actually put a car on sale at the right price and make enough of them, and people buy them. Great news. Vauxhall Opel being surprised. Oh, we made a really good car. People wanted it. We can't believe it. Scratching our heads. Next, we're talking about the new app for BMW customers. Let me know if you get this. A new generation app is now available on iPhone and Android in 30 markets and China and Korea. The My BMW app has a new look, new services. Depending on the equipment in your car, you can locate the vehicle, lock, unlock. You can even look at the cameras. So you can monitor your surroundings. It's called Remote 3D. Customers can download over-the-air updates to their cars via the My BMW app, especially if they're at home on your home Wi-Fi. You can transfer them and install them on the vehicle via the app. BMW customers using the new operating system 7 have the ability to ensure that their vehicle is always up to date. The app is, your phone is now the key. It's called BMW Digital Key. So as long as your phone is in your pocket and you walk up to the car will unlock itself via Bluetooth. Amazon Alexa is now in, sorry for those that just set all their device off, Amazon A is now in BMW thanks to the new operating system 7, and we have one in every room just about here. So we are fully in the Amazon ecosystem. We pretty much sold out to Amazon and everything. We just use it for everything. For, you know, reminders and timers when cooking and all this, you know, we have the screen version, so the screensavers are our little one and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, we chat away to it. So, play music on it. And so, you can now get that in your BMW. So you have had for a while, but all you use is the activation word, the A word, or touch a button. And, of course, if you have all those routines set up at home, boosting the heating, turning lights on and off as we do. You can do that when you're around the corner from your house, from your car. The new BMW app also has new tools for EVs to better predict electric range, charging status and speed, charging history, climate, preconditioning for heating and cooling. Let me know if you get that, BMW owners, and I'd like to hear about it. And finally, Toyota. 10th story today. My goodness, what another day of packed EV news, and it's all positive stuff as well. Toyota aims to increase the acceptance of fuel cell cars by pricing the Mirai, the new Mirai, hydrogen-powered car, below that of what they say is a long-range full electric. According to Automotive News Europe, the new Mirai costs from €64,000 or $78,000 when it goes on sale below the €83,000 that Tesla charges in Germany for the Model S Long Range Plus with a 100 kilowatt hour battery. Now, I understand if some people say the Mirai should not be compared to a Model S Long Range Plus. I get it. They seem like a different segment car to me, but that's what Nissan, that's the comparison Toyota are making. Toyota is going to target a tenfold increase in sales of the Mirai. In the last 5 years, they've sold 800 here in Europe. Toyota of Europe's powertrain boss, Theobald Paquet, said to Automotive News Europe, and I quote, "It plays a similar role to what Prius was doing for hybrid technology," end quote. They're still pushing hydrogen and won't make EVs. Are Toyota too wedded to the idea of hydrogen technology and being a pioneer like they were with the Prius? Do they want lightning to strike twice and repeat the trick? They did it with the Prius, but they didn't capitalize on it. Now, are they hoping they can be the ones that break through with hydrogen? Or will Toyota be a one-hit wonder? We'll see. Some people I see online talking about Japanese culture and, you know, being too proud and not admitting defeat and not knowing that hydrogen is, you know, it's folly now. It's a failed experiment. Nobody wants it for personal transport. Maybe good for trains, you know, buses and commercial. But I don't know if that disrespects the Japanese culture. I don't know enough about Japanese culture to, you know, to kind of comment. Probably, I remember there's a Formula One fan reading a lot about the failed project between McLaren, you know, in Woking in the UK, and Honda, and how the English and Japanese cultures were just so far apart. That whole project just didn't work. I don't want to be disrespectful to the Japanese culture, because it could be me that has the blind spot, but is it something to do with the fact they don't want to, Toyota don't want to admit, look, we should just stop throwing, you know, good money after bad? Anyway, let me know your thoughts and we can discuss. You can email me about anything, anytime. My address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, there are 942 shows in the archive. Feel free, dip in, have a listen to any previous show. And if you can, have a look at the Patreon page. It's how we fund this show. Our premium partners are Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, Avid Technology, Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East, nationalcarcharging.com and alohacharge.com, Derek Riley from the EV Review Island YouTube channel, and Richard making great videos as well. That Model 3 comparison, old and new, has done tens of thousands of views now on YouTube at RSEV. Richard Simons at rsev.co.uk, the electric vehicle specialist. Hello to our partners of the show, David and Lisa Allen. Hello, guys. OEM Audio of New Zealand and evpower.co.nz. Gareth Hamer, eMobility Norway, former guests of this show, emobilitynorway.com. Bob Boothby, I want to get on the show as soon as Bob can, at Millbrook Cottages and Elopement Wedding Venue. Darren McCleskey from De Novo Real Estate. Big EV fan is Darren. Jukka Kukkonen from shift2electric.com. Rajiv Narayan. And now, Ian Sear. And all of our exec producers. Quick mention, quick shout, as it's the end of the week. Alan Robson, Alan Shedd, Alex Banahini, Alexander Frank, Anders Hove, Andrea Jefferson, Andrew Green, Asir Khalid, Ashley Hill, Bjard Fugstack, Brian Thompson, Bruce Bahan, Charles Hall, Chris Hopkins, Christopher Barth, Colin Hennessy and Cam's EV, Craig Coles, Craig Rogers, Damian Davis, Dave Jusen, David Finch, David Moore, David Partington, David Prescott, Don McAllister at screencastsonline.com, Aruk Union Yombi, Frederick Rovick, Gene Rubin, Gilberto Rosado, Jeff Lowe, Hedley Wright, Heinrich Leisner, Ian Griffiths, Ian Waddy Watkins, Jack Oakley, James Storr, Jim Morris, John Beardy McBeardface at Ken TV's, John Manchek, Juan Gonzalez, Ken Morris, Kevin Merson, Carl Mann, Lars Dallager, Lawrence D. Allen, Lee Brown, Luke Cully, Marcel Wood, Mark Bossett, Marty Young, Matt Piscioni, Mia Oppelstrop, Michael Pastroni, Mike Winter, Nathan Gore Brown, Neely Robertson, Sussex EV's, Nicholas Miller, Nigel Miles, Ohad Aston, Paul Ridings, Paul Stevenson, Pete Glass, Pete Gordon, Peter and D. Roberts from Oxen EVs, Phil Mouchet, Philip Troutman, Raj Badwell, Rene Kimmick, Rene Schneider, Richard Lupinski, Rob Hermans, Rob from the RS Thinks EV channel on YouTube, Robert Grace, Rupert Mitchell, Seiki Payne, Stephen Penn, Steve John, Thomas J. Tears, Todd Oakes, the Plug Seeker, and his EV YouTube channel, Tim Gutteridge, and William Langhorne. Have a wonderful weekend. I'll catch you Monday. And do remember, there is no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.